reality and dove completely under the sludge. Immediately there appeared a window telling me that I had enough air for 3 minutes. After that I would either have to come up for 10 seconds or drown. But the air was full of mosquitoes, which would very gladly renew the timer for finding a new target. But then again, that's if they would manage to get to me in those 10 seconds. Moving slowly as I overcame the resistance of the mire, I headed towards Swiftbell's treasure and away from the mosquitoes. When just a few seconds remained until I ran out of air, I carefully came up and looked around. I managed to walk only about 50 meters, so I could see the swarming cloud of insects very well. But they could not see me. And this was great! I counted the 10 seconds necessary for restoring my breath and was about to dive back in when I saw a message. Achievement earned. Diver, level 1. 27 minutes spent underwater until the next level. Achievement reward. Time that can be spent underwater increased by 1%. Current time, 3 minutes, 1.8 seconds. You can look at the list of achievements in the character settings. Diver is a somewhat better achievement than the Romeo and Juliet one I got a couple of days back. If I remember correctly, there were treasure-finding contests held among divers. I would have to look that up when I get to Anhur's. I surfaced to restore my air bar 3 times until the mosquitoes were nowhere to be seen. My mana was almost restored, and energy was no longer drawing nervous glances from me every few seconds. Things were looking up. Damage taken. Hit points reduced by 2. 2. Bite. Total hit points, 768 of 770. You will lose 2 hit points every 5 seconds for 30 seconds or until the time you remove the leech. I had run out of any emotions by this point. I summoned a lightning spirit on the leech that attached to me and looked around. The closest island wasn't far, about 100 meters away. If I were to swim to it, I'd get there in a minute and catch my breath afterwards. It would also not be a bad idea to.
Damage taken. You are losing 2 hit points every 5 seconds.
There weren't nearly as many leeches as mosquitoes, but they had a very unpleasant trait. I had no idea where they were biting me to target them and hit them. Even with my sense of pain turned on to full, I didn't feel them bite, so I could only be guided by the messages on the damage sustained. I then had to stop and remove the evil bloodsuckers. It took me 30 minutes to get through the 100 meters to the little island. At one point, it even occurred to me to leave the leeches that latched onto me where they were so I could get to the islet as quick as possible. But after 10 meters of this experiment, my hit points diminished by 20%. So I had to stop, summon a healing spirit on myself, and then get the bloodsuckers off me. The little island met me with surprising calm and green grass. Almost completely drained, with just 20 points of energy, I fell on the grass. The 100-meter swim also gave a decent increase to my stats. +2 to stamina, +3 to intellect, +3 to endurance, and a new 19th character level. This treasure hunt was turning into quite a boost. In just a couple of hours of my search, I leveled up by as much as it took me a month of work at the mines. The place marked on the map wasn't that far away now. I could even see that islet about 300 or 400 meters ahead. I had to get there to collect the treasure, but I wasn't rushing there headlong. My inner voice insisted that I must not take the direct route there, and I was in complete agreement with it. The watery surface that separated me from the islet, with an unassuming tree in the middle, was just a little too smooth and calm. I settled down on the grass for a think. I wasn't even thinking, but waiting for something. The island where I ended up wasn't that large, about 30 meters in diameter and almost completely round. There was something strange about it. Suddenly, there was a barely audible splash of water. A shadow flashed nearby and immediately vanished, but I had enough time to select it. An alligator, level 20. Another obstacle before the treasure by the looks of it. That does it. I'm fed up with being the whipping boy. Level 20, you say? Great. Where did I put my tambourine and mallet? The shaman has three hands. There came a subdued growl, and the alligator immediately appeared on the surface. It swung its head around and, finding its bearings, headed in my direction. Come on over. Here I am. One lightning spirit took off half of the crocodile's hit points, so I waited until it climbed onto the islet and summoned the second spirit. A piece of meat and an alligator skin made for decent loot. I picked up the meat and threw it in the water. I'll lure these gators out one by one. One by one didn't happen. As soon as the meat fell into the bog, the entire surrounding area started to move, and alligators came out from all directions. Oops, I didn't really count on this when chucking the meat in the water. But let's see what I'm capable of as a shaman. Amount of mana, 1,980. Each crocodile needs 2 lightning spirits, and each spirit costs 76 points of mana. Therefore, I should have little problem summoning 26 lightning spirits in a row. After that, I would rely on my regeneration. In total, there were 40 alligators. I ran around the island, constantly summoning lightning spirits, but it was so full of crocodiles that there was barely any place to turn. A couple of times, it was very close, and I had to use a healing potion. But on the whole, the fight didn't present much of a problem. My mana regenerated fairly quickly. The crocodiles were slow, despite their large numbers. The tambourine worked like a dream, and the spirits turned up immediately after the summons. When the last crocodile dropped out of the game for the next 3 days, the time it took for normal mobs to respawn, I reached level 21, gained plus 3 to intellect, plus 2 to endurance, and an open path to the island. I collected the loot, and, after a short swim, reached my goal. Now all I had to do was climb the hill to get to the tree and meet up with the woodwove. A quiet splash made me freeze. I thought I'd downed all the local reptiles. What else could be splashing around here? Slowly, making no sudden moves, I turned around. I just knew that there was something odd about the island on which I was fighting the alligators. As it happened, it wasn't an island at all. It was an enormous turtle, which stretched out its wrinkled head as it moved in my direction, like a tank. Only about 40 meters remained between us when the turtle swiftly moved its head, caught something in the water, and started to chew. A bar labeled Fullness appeared above it, 5% of which turned green. So, it wants to snack on me, does it? I selected the turtle and looked at its life bar. Well, I'll be. Level 100, 150,000 hit points. It would take me about a week to down it with my spirits. The turtle made another quick move, grabbed its next victim from the bog, and chewed on it industriously. It's pretty nimble for its size. The level of Fullness rose to 10%, and then, just as unhurriedly, it moved towards me. Strange, I thought that no one lived in the bog except for the crocodiles. What is it catching? Think. I need to think, and fast. I wouldn't be able to kill it, nor would I be able to run away. Can I feed it? What with? Alligator meat! I have 40 pieces of it right here. Around 10 meters remained between me and the turtle, so I quickly threw all the meat I got from crocodiles out of the bag and ran some distance up the hill. Please, please let it work. The turtle crawled out of the bog, stopped by my pile, which looked rather silly compared to its enormous size, sniffed the meat, like a dog, and started to eat it. 20% of fullness. 40. 70. 90. 99. That's it. There was no more meat. The hungry Hulk lifted its head, looked at me, and again slowly began to move in my direction. Damn my luck! I turned around and ran as fast as I could to the opposite side of the island. It may not be large, just 50 meters in diameter, but while this mammoth crawls over to me, I'll think of something. It was a great idea, but it was not to be. As soon as I turned and took a few steps, the turtle shot out its head at the speed of an arrow, clenched me in its jaws, and slowly began to chew. The pain was hellish. It was like being crushed between two grinding stones. My hit points were in a free fall. I was screaming, but the pain wasn't going anywhere. Suddenly, it all stopped. I fell to the ground, fitfully trying to breathe in. A minute went by before I could recover enough to look around. My hit points were at 25. The durability of all my items was reduced by 70%, and the enormous hulk of the sleeping turtle was lying next to me with its fullness bar at 100%. After I summoned 4 healing spirits in a row on myself, I was able to get up on my still unsteady feet. My endurance had gone up to 30 by now, and I was meant to be feeling 6% less pain. Somehow I didn't notice this reduction at all while I was being chewed up by the turtle. If anything, it felt more like it had increased by 100%. I even shuddered at the memory. And all this for some treasure? Where the heck was it then? I'm here. The island, marked on the map, is here. So where's the chest with the treasure? I waited for my mana to completely recharge and headed for the tree standing in the middle of the island. If that chest was anywhere, that would be the place.
Halt, traveler! You have gone through the fire. Now you must go through water.
A hairy, formless something appeared between myself and the tree. So that's what a woodwoth looks like. And you're the one behind all this? You are the bastard responsible for the mosquitoes, the leeches, and the crocodiles? The little turtle, sleeping peacefully nearby, also gets a special mention. You're the one that's done all this? Level 30? 2,500 hit points? Defense? Unknown? But that no longer matters. I'm angry and irritated, and the wolf had the luck to be in my way.
My first question, the woodwolf began, but I brazenly interrupted it.
I've had it with all their riddles. The shaman has 3 hands. That's for the mosquitoes. They could have eaten me alive.
Stop, shaman! What are you doing?
The woodwolf began to wail, dropping its question.
And behind his back a wing.
That's for the leeches. It was bad enough that it forced me to dive into the green sludge, but it decided to sprinkle some leeches on top. What if I had a phobia?
This was against the rules.
Yeah, scream all you like. Boil over in indignation. I could use those extra couple of seconds.
From the heat upon his breath...
How about them crocodiles? They may not have given me all that much trouble, but that's only because I switched on my brain and thought better of jumping in the water. I dread to think what would have happened if I failed to listen to my inner voice.
Let's strike a deal.
Ah, so the woodwoth likes to bargain, eh?
Shining candle fire springs.
And that's for the ninja turtle. 1 spirit won't do for that. I think 3 would be just about right.
Mercy! I'll offer you a ransom for my life.
The wolf's voice was getting hoarse now. And little wonder. It only had 10 hit points left. I'd be able to finish it off with my mallet, if need be. It had no business springing itself on an angry shaman. It's a sure way to get itself swatted. Wanted me to answer riddles, eh? A couple of lightning spirits, and all the riddles solve themselves. "Do you swear that you wouldn't do me any harm in either thought or deed?" I asked the Wove, kneeling down. The strangest thing, I still had 40 points of energy left, but I felt the entire weight of the world on my shoulders. "Well," I growled, seeing the Wove go quiet, "it won't do to go into shutdown without finishing it off." "If the answer's no, your fate is your own choice. The shaman has three..."
"I swear!"
shouted the hairy something, and, a moment before losing consciousness, I felt the heaviness leave me. But I didn't care anymore. I was tired, and had to rest. I came to myself, judging by the timer, only 10 hours later. The peacefully sleeping mountain that was the turtle disappeared. It probably doesn't like sleeping in the open air. I turned around and under the lone tree saw the round, hairy something which put me to sleep for so long. It had no feet or head or eyes. It was a practically round furball.
"Awake now."
Like a balloon, the Wove was gently floating above the ground. "Awake," I confirmed sullenly. "What did you hit me with?"
"The spell of forgetfulness. I didn't think that you would attack right away. I thought you'd first try to solve the riddle, give your brains a good runaround. But that's not the way things ended up. I turned out to be unprepared. What did you come here for? There's nothing here except me and the mosquitoes."
"Well, I haven't dropped in for tea, exactly. I was told that Swiftbell buried his treasure here. That's what I came for. No point in going to waste."
"Ah, you're a seeker. I nearly thought you were some villain up to no good. I guess the sisters sent you here. What on earth did you do to them to get sent to a sure death?"
"Death?
Of course. You don't think I'll just hand the treasure over to you? I haven't been guarding it all these years to give it up to random strangers. And don't look at me like that. You should have killed me right away when you had the chance. Now, I prepared myself. You can try, of course, but in that case, my oath not to do you any harm will become void."
"I see. So there's no chance for me to make it out of here alive?"
"What the heck do I need you for? You can go as you please. You may even stay here. You're not in my way. You wouldn't find the treasure anyway, nor would you get the better of me."
"Hang on. You said that you were prepared to bargain for your life, did you not?" I waited for the Wove to give a snort of agreement and then continued, "Then I would trade your life for the treasure."
"You think you're so damn clever. It won't work. Swiftbell put me under a ward. I cannot hand over the treasure, even on the pain of death. I can only give it to him or to his friend. As far as the bargain goes, in place of death, I grant you the opportunity to speak to me. I will even answer your questions. Not all of them, of course, but some."
"Well, I am the friend. If the ransom idea didn't work, I will try to get it out of the Wove by other means."
"You can't be the friend. Swiftbell hid the treasure 40 years ago, when you weren't even a twinkle in your parents' eyes."
You could feel its smile, pleased at its own joke. Does this mean that the treasure was hidden even before Barleona was launched? This is a sign that this is a quest prepared in advance, rather than being a randomly generated one based on the player's actions. That's good to know. Such quests bring tastier rewards. All that's left now is to get my hands on these tasties.
Perhaps I should take the risk and try fighting it again? I just have to summon 5 lightning spirits. Will there be time?
Besides, I remember Swiftbell's friend very well, continued the Woad. You don't look anything like him.
Didn't work. Fine, we'll try a different approach. Tell me honestly, haven't you got tired of sitting here? After all, you're a Woad of the wood, not the bog. To be stuck for 40 years all alone, guarding the treasure that you've never even seen? Isn't all this rather silly?
What do you mean, not seeing the treasure? I look at it every day,
asked the Woad in surprise. But something in its voice seemed off. I had to dig deeper. And what do you see? A closed chest? Are you even sure there's treasure in it? Maybe the only treasure is the chest itself. Did you even once look inside? I can bet that you haven't.
But Swiftbell said that,
said the Woad, now sounding not so certain. It was time to move in for the kill. I just wanted a glimpse at what I came here for. If it's worth it, I may even attack the Woad for it. You believed a merchant? It's practically in his job description. Deceive everyone to get more profit. How did he persuade you to guard the treasure?
He didn't. It was his friend whom I just couldn't refuse. Few could have refused that one.
The Woad hesitated a few moments and then asked,
Are you sure there is no treasure there?
Of course. Do people visit you often? If the treasure was real, the bog would have been overrun by other free citizens. Do you see many of those?
You're the first. Usually some common folk turned up. One time, Mabel sent her husband. She probably got tired of living with him.
By the way, how do you know the old ladies? They don't seem to be the type to make friends with a Woodwoad. I just couldn't see how this local wonder became acquainted with template NPC old ladies from Farstead. They're so ordinary that they were even made from the same prototype. Or is there something more behind their resemblance? Could the conditions of the quest really state that Mabel and Patricia must send players to the Woad for certain death? You could say that they formed a criminal association with the local evil entity. It just doesn't seem like them at all.
I know this through Swiftbell. They are his sisters.
So that's how the old women knew about the treasure. And I almost began to think badly of them.
You're really getting me confused here, the Woad finally decided. What if I really am guarding an empty chest? That would be scandalous. I'll become the laughingstock of the Woadian assembly.
Then let's have a look at what's in the chest. Maybe there isn't much sense of being stuck here anymore. It's not like I want to waste my time on an empty chest. They can find another fool for that. Skill increase, plus 20% to charisma, total 60%. The Woad disappeared for a few seconds and then reappeared, saying in a pleased tone,
How could I doubt a man like Swiftbell? Way to go with egging me on. The treasure does exist. How could it not? Its value is such that crowds of knights would risk their heads just for a chance to get it.
What is it, then? I wasn't counting on this when I was trying to get the Woad to peek inside the chest. I thought it would get the chest out, open the lid, and we'll both look inside. Now it seems I was the one that got fooled.
It's a treasure! As to what it is, that's none of your business.
The Woad made a show of floating around me and then drifted off to the tree.
If you're done, I'll get some sleep now. Got tired faffing around with you here. If you decide to attack, don't bother waking me.
Now it's mocking me. going for a nap. Damn, can't even think of anything to ask it. Although, by the way, why a bog? Could the treasure not have been hidden closer at hand? It seems stupid to drag a great chest all the way into the wilderness.
Swiftbell didn't drag it, as it happens. His friend brought the chest on him, replied the Woth, yawning.
On him? What do you mean, on him? Swiftbell's friend is a horse?
Why does it have to be a horse?
The Woth floated up to me again.
Swiftbell's friend is no horse. He's a dragon. Just an ordinary dragon. For him, flying over the bog is child's play.
A dragon? From where? Few of these have been seen in the entire history of Barleona. For instance, I've never heard of a player who has, or read any mention of this on the forums. And here you have some merchant flying around on a dragon. How did Swiftbell end up with a dragon for a friend? I asked, genuinely surprised.
This? I don't know. Perhaps the Fifthers could give you a clue. They were very close with Swiftbell.
The Woth yawned once again.
Come on, decide already. I want to sleep, and you just can't make up your mind whether to attack me or not. The sooner we settle this, the sooner I'll get some sleep.
Changes to the searching for your totem quest. You managed to find out that Barleona's dragons are real and not a myth. Merchant Swiftbell had one of them as a friend. Find out from the merchant sisters how he got a friend like that. If you fail to find this out, speak to the shaman trainer.
Hold on.
Does this mean that you have to hand the chest over either to Swiftbell or to a dragon? Either one or the other?
All the dragons are one family. I could give the treasure to any of them, but not one of them has been seen in 40 years.
Would you give it to him? Almost too anxious to breathe, I asked the Woodwoth, and then said in my head, Draco, hello, would you like to play?
To play? I like to play. Do you promise that we play? We didn't play last time.
We will, for sure. Come now.
To whom? Him, chuckled the Woth. It's not like you have a friend who's a drag.
It didn't manage to finish, as a projection of a little dragon appeared next to me. The world froze. It was like someone flicked a switch and turned off all the bog sounds at once.
Hello! I came to your call!
The high-pitched child's voice put an end to the silence that surrounded us.
My lord!
I could be wrong, but judging by the Woth's look, it fell to its knees, if it had any.
Who's this? What's he doing?
Draco looked at it in surprise. He's just fooling around. Just imagine, before we could play hide-and-seek, we need to get hold of a chest. The Woth, that thing lying over there, has one, but doesn't want to give it up. It says it would only give it if a dragon asks it. So, do you want to play hide-and-seek?
Hide-and-seek! I like hide-and-seek!
Draco even started spinning around me in anticipation of the fun.
Am I dragon?
Yes, a dragon.
Give me the chest!
Draco looked at the Woth, and then added,
Please!
Yes, Lord.
Immediately a small, about knee-high, chest appeared next to the Woth. So that's what all the fuss is about. Could it contain a legendary or an epic item? That would be great.
And now we play. Woth, you with us?
If you command, my lord.
The Woth showed no sign of getting up from the ground.
I command it. Play with us. I'm it.
The hide-and-seek took us about 2 hours. The island turned out to have an abundance of hiding places. So much for me thinking of the tree as the only place to hide. Small hollows, stones, and even a burrow where the Wothe lived, all could be used for hiding. I never touched the chest, and Draco didn't ask why we weren't using it. He even tried it out as a hiding place, but the see-through tail always let me know that my totem was behind the chest. At last, Draco started to yawn and asked if he could go now. I had to promise that soon I would call him once again and we would continue the game.
"You have summoned your totem. Because your totem is still disembodied, the next summoning can only happen in 7 days' time."
Ah, and I was all set on continuing to play with Draco later today. But never mind. In 7 days' time, I'd be sure to summon him again.
"So, you have a dragon as a totem," said the Wothe when Draco disappeared. "It's been a long time since I've seen one of them. I even forgot what it feels like when a dragon is looking at you."
"That's right. So can I take the treasure, then?" I glanced at the chest that was still standing by the tree.
"Yes, you can. My service has come to an end. I'll go back to the woods and seek out a dryad. Or a couple."
The Wothe fell silent and, before disappearing, uttered,
"The little turtle will wake up in a minute. I'm not controlling it anymore. Good luck to you."
In a minute? The teleportation scroll takes 30 seconds to activate. I had no idea how long it would take for the turtle to get to the island. What if it decides to nibble on me some more? But I'd venture a guess that it's not long at all. This means... I ran to the chest and lifted the lid. "So, where's my legendary or epic item?"
"Lyra's ball gown. Description. The world-famous beauty Lyra took great pride in her wardrobe. The star of the collection was a special dress, the likes of which has not been seen in Barleona. A girl wearing this dress would become the owner of a truly unique object and would gladly fall into the arms of him who presented her this gift. Durability unbreakable. If the item is presented to a female NPC, +100 to attractiveness with that NPC. Item class, unique. Nothing like it exists in Barleona. Level requirements, none. Don't wake the Wothe in its snooze. Quest completed."
I automatically threw the dress into my bag, took out a scroll of teleportation to Beatwick, and activated it. While the portal was being formed, I had time to think that it's been a long while since anyone had fooled me so beautifully. Chapter 5. The Hunt for the Vagran. The next day I bought some food from the trader and headed out for my work team. I have to supply them with rations for the next couple of days and should take some more off them as well. By now they should have something to show for all that pick swinging. Then I would drop by the smithy and we'll start to level up in smithing. What if a gem...
"Hey, Mayen."
My thoughts were interrupted by a low and self-assured voice.
"What are you doing here?"
I looked around and saw no one. What the... Am I starting to hallucinate now?
"Look up," said a breathtakingly beautiful female voice.
I looked up and saw two griffins silently flapping their wings above my head. Well, I'll be... It took a lot of willpower to stay upright, as my legs became like rubber, and I sincerely hoped that I didn't actually start to drool. Anastaria and Hellfire with her, both leaders of the Phoenix Clan in person. "I'm in exile here." I somehow managed to get a grip on the awe that overwhelmed me and respond. "People, if it's not too much trouble, would you mind coming down? Looking up at you like this is doing my neck in. Hell, this boy's cheeky, chuckled Anastaria.
Or maybe he has no idea who we are. Let's land.
Hellfire barely moved his hand, and his griffin began to descend.
I stood there, trying to suppress the shakes. Two top players of our continent within Barleona. Hellfire had a 340-level dwarf warrior, and Anastaria a 330-level human paladin. What on earth did they want with a 20-level player? They shouldn't even take any notice of someone like me.
Don't fret. We're not PKers.
The paladin beauty's voice was simply divine.
If I understand correctly, you are one of the five prisoners that were the first to complete the Mushu dungeon, correct?
With some effort, I forced myself to nod, following which Anastaria continued.
I'm Anastaria. This here is Hellfire. We represent the Phoenix Clan. Have you heard of it?
I took several deep breaths, gathered my thoughts, and was finally able to come out with something other than groaning.
I know full well what Phoenix is, and who Hellfire and Anastaria are, the two most leveled-up players from our continent, leaders of the most successful clan, winners of the intercontinental clan tournaments, and holders of a mind-boggling number of first kills. If you took me for a complete noob without any real interest in the game, you were mistaken.
Great. Then we can go straight to business. Hellfire stopped examining the scenery and turned to me.
You didn't answer my question. What are you doing here? What does this exile mean? Since when do Red Riding Hoods get exiled?
I briefly told them the main points of the law, which required the first 6 months of the sentence to be served either at a mine or in a settlement.
So, you've managed to earn respect with the guards in less than 6 months?
Anastaria's somewhat distracted demeanor changed to visible interest.
How did you manage that?
Damn. Should I tell them about Jewelcraft or not? If yes, they would probably ask me to show them, and then simply to hand over the chess pieces. Then I would never solve the riddle contained within them. I stood up for another prisoner who was set up at the mine. Then I killed the culprit. I was thrown for respawn, and the Commission for Prisoner Affairs ruled that I should be given 3 character levels and friendly status with the guards. And then it was simple. Rats. I'm a shaman who can summon spirits, and rat tails provided a decent reputation increase. So that's how I got out in 3 months. You could say I just got damn lucky.
You got lucky with the dungeon, too?
Now Hellfire joined our conversation.
To be honest, yes.
Eric, one of our 5 strong group, saw a dot in a mountain. He played Barleona before prison as a tank, so we believed him. That dot turned out to be a cave entrance. We completed the Malachite gathering quest and went through the dungeon. It was aimed right at our level, so it wasn't too difficult.
But Eric, as you call him, Leidy and Klutzer, said it was actually pretty hard.
Judging by the way Hellfire was watching me, he was expecting some sort of a reaction. It was strange, but the more time I spent in Anastaria's company, the more I wanted to curl up in a ball under her feet. She's just an ordinary girl, even if unbelievably beautiful, with such wonderful hair that you want to... Right, pull yourself together, you sop.
Hard is when you've had 100 wipes and are out of ideas on how to keep going.
When a dungeon is completed at the first attempt, it's not that hard. Where was I getting all this confidence from? And how did you find out about Leidy, Klutzer, and Eric?
They've gone through a trial and become our recruits. They're part of Phoenix now. When you get to Annhurst, drop by our clan's representative office. You're expected there already. When you complete the trial, you'll join us as well.
Hellfire did not have a shred of doubt that I would be unable to turn down his offer, and my pride reared its head.
So what's this, then? Eric, Leidy, and Klutzer are already in Phoenix? Have all our plans for creating our own clan gone to the dogs now? Well, you can all go bugger yourselves. I won't join, and that's that.
Damn, this really has got to me. I was really hoping that I could play the remainder of my sentence with others like me, former prisoners. But it didn't turn out that way at all.
Right. We're done with small talk. Now to business. We are looking for a squad of dark goblins. They're roaming around somewhere in this region. Have you seen anything?
Can't you see from the air who's where?
I was genuinely surprised. That's the problem. There's a ziggurat standing in this area with a 40-kilometer radius of effect.
A ziggurat? This was serious. I went to the manual to refresh my memory with the description of this wonder from Cartus.
Ziggurat is a unique Cartus device for suppressing the maps and airborne forces of the enemy. A ziggurat conceals a certain area of the map and is located in a random spot of the covered area. It is impossible to conduct a search from the air in an area affected by a ziggurat. All Cartus buildings and units gain the invisibility buff.
Have you fallen asleep?
Huh?
No, just thinking. A ziggurat in this province?
Guys, are you sure you're not confusing something?
All right, there may be a squad of dark goblins, even 10 squads with 10 goblins in each. They are all level 20 to 30.
A ziggurat is something a lot more serious. Only a magister can set one up. Why would there be a dark magister of Cartus in the Krong province?
You really aren't a noob, smiled Anastaria. When you join the clan, I'll take you into my squad. Although...
Stop! Hell, get him!
A gust rushed through the area. Hellfire, who was standing a couple of meters away, was suddenly sitting on me. I was pinned to the ground and practically immobilized.
Stacy, what happened?
Though Hellfire didn't understand anything, he carried out Anastaria's command without question. Like an experienced raider, first do, then ask why. It's the only way it works in the dungeons.
Our little shaman here is getting just a little too curious. Are we looking at competition here? Even if he's too much of a small fish to be a competitor, hell, think about it. We didn't say how many goblin squads there were. We didn't say what level they were. We didn't say how many goblins there were in each squad. But Mayan told us all these things just like that, while the Herald shared this information with us as highly confidential. You don't find it all a bit strange?
You think the number 2's hired him?
Hellfire's voice became steely. He bent my head so I saw his gray eyes.
Mayan, is there something you want to tell us? Or will we have to be persuading you? You think I don't know what the red band on your head means? Just let me go. I'll tell you all I know, I growled.
Hellfire looked questioningly at Anastaria, waited for her nod, and got off me.
Phew! Right. The time had come to spill the beans. I got up, flexed my neck that was roughed up by Hellfire, and began my tale. It so happens that I was the one who discovered the first squad of dark goblins. I found it and destroyed it, taking its leader prisoner. I recounted that entire fight, including the Romeo and Juliet achievement. I kept quiet about the wolves, since they weren't really connected to the goblins. That's how I got a hold of a work team. They are mining the ore not far from here. That's it, I think. Hellfire and Anastaria even laughed when I told them about how I lured out the goblins, but as soon as I mentioned the work team, they immediately fell silent. "So, those 10 were yours?" Hellfire finally muttered, after the tale of my adventures had come to an end. "Were?"
"You see, we've already been roaming this territory in search for goblins for 2 days."
Anastaria's tone was strangely apologetic.
"We only found out about the ziggurat today, when we were adding our route to the maps. Anyway, we saw your goblins from the air, took them for a dark goblin squad, and because our quest said destroy, we didn't even bother landing. You know what a meteor shower is, right? Well, I'm afraid you don't have a work group anymore."
"What?"
"Right, chill it," intervened Hellfire. "You can take any complaints to the clan. They'll be reviewed there."
"Hell, there's no need to be this way. He's a small fry. Where would he get the money? You could say he had a great stroke of luck, and we just stripped him of 10 grand in gold."
"Ah, Stacy. One day your kindness would bring our clan to ruin. Here you go."
Hellfire threw me 7,000 gold into the trade window.
"The cost of a beginner-level work group ranges between 10 and 100 gold. The annual profit that they could generate for you wouldn't exceed 10,000 gold, so you can't have any claims against the clan from the financial side. On behalf of the Phoenix Clan, please accept my apologies for this misunderstanding. I hope that your gaming experience has not suffered. Stacy, let's keep flying. We have another square to cover."
"Man, if you see the goblins, let me know."
Anastaria handed me a communication amulet.
"Call me right away."
The griffin soared into the sky, leaving me in a state of complete befuddlement. 7,000 gold is good, of course, but now I would have to mine the ore myself. I wonder if they took the gathered ore or just left it lying on the ground. If they didn't actually land, it should still be there. I have to go and check. I'll do some swinging with my pick as well, take my anger out on a tin vein at least. Why does Phoenix think that all the players owe them? And most importantly, how could Eric, Leidy, and Klutzer flake out on me like that? The mine was transformed after the meteorite attack. There were huge holes and piles of stones, and not a trace of my workers. The place where the ore was collected was also worse for wear, or rather it had simply disappeared under a pile of enormous rocks. Even if my former workers did gather anything, it was impossible to get at it now. Damn! I took out my pick and unleashed my fury on the vein. Although, why get angry? Some high-level players flew by, made it clear who was boss around here, paid some money, and flew off. Same as everywhere else.
"Oi, you there!"
A rough voice interrupted my involved, tin-vein-facilitated anger management session. I'd taken off around 40% of its durability in about half an hour. Not bad for a vein of this level. My hands still remembered how these things were done.
"What you mucking about with here?"
Taught by experience, I looked up. There was another standard griffin and a great bird of flame. I knew well enough who it was that managed to get his hands on the only phoenix in the game, the Dark Legion clan, or Number Twos, as everyone called them behind their backs. The phoenix was carrying none other than Plinto, the head of the clan, a 330-level player. a rogue. Hellfire offered him a crazy amount of money to buy out the Phoenix, but Plinto laughed at his requests. He said that this was showing Phoenix's proper place, under Plinto's. Basically, there was a non-stop war between these two clans. Phoenix's strength was in their mastery, while the Dark Legion's was in sheer numbers. When a crowd of 100 100-level players are trying to catch a 200-level player, the outcome of the battle is very hard to predict. The Dark Legion had tens of thousands of members. Plinto accepted everyone. This included those rejected by Phoenix and those eager to take part in capturing a castle. Almost all high-level PKers were members of this clan, but the Dark Legion always remained in the second place. Right now, I had two main players from this clan floating above me. I seem to be having quite a day for running into people. I'm mining ore. I had little desire to be rude to Plinto, who was famous for his short temper. He could send me for respawn in the blink of an eye.
Have you seen any goblins?
I could barely restrain myself from saying that I was looking at a couple right now. Yes, there were 10 of them in this mine. Then Hellfire and Anastaria from Phoenix flew by and destroyed them. You can see the result, total chaos and ruin. They really shouldn't have killed off my workers. It wasn't much, but it was still revenge.
They're here? Drawn, call in reinforcements.
Plinto, we can't. Remember the conditions of the quest? Only 2 clan representatives on this territory. Any more would mean a fail. We've already found 2 groups out of 9. Those bastards got at least 1. Who the heck knows how many duos are still flying about in the Freelands?
Then get mercenaries. I need 20 level 200 mercenaries. They have to slow Phoenix down. We could use an extra 12 hours. We'll be first.
Plinto looked at me.
Where did you see them last?
Not far from here. They flew off that way. I waved in the direction the killers of my work team had departed.
Quick, let's follow them. Here, take this for the info.
Plinto opened a trade window and threw me 700 gold.
If you see them again, give me a call.
A communication amulet landed on me after the money. There was a slight breeze, and both players were quickly out of sight. Let's see. What's going on here? What kind of a quest would be limited to only 2 clan members? And we're talking about the most powerful clans, too. I remembered the mayor's words. The search for the remaining 8 squads is being carried out by 8 heroes that had been hired by the heralds. So this means that 4 more must be flying around here somewhere, plus the ziggurat, plus the coordinator. Right, stop. This has nothing to do with me. I got a better grip on the pick and continued to smash the tin vein. My task is simple. Live a quiet life and don't bother anyone. I had little desire to get involved in clan disputes.
Attention, the Last Hope quest chain has been blocked due to the destruction of Grey Death and her pack. Pack respawn time, 4 months.
I blinked in surprise at the message that popped up. The wolves have been killed. I had high hopes of getting a nice bonus at the end of this rare quest chain. But then these high-level players flew in and destroyed everything. I threw myself at the tin vein in powerless rage. Why am I so unlucky of late?
Experience gained, plus 10 experience. Points remaining until next level, 8,145. Skill increase, plus 40% to mining. Total, 101%. Mining increased to 13. Plus 2% to stamina. Total, 60%. Plus 2% to strength. Total, 67%.
I looked at the results of my work. 7 pieces of tin ore. Maybe I really should forget everything and just keep leveling up in the mining profession? You don't have to think or make any decisions. Just swing the pick without a care in the world. I picked up the ore and walked over to the next vein. I had 20 hours before I had to return to Beatwick. Veins respawn on a daily basis, and there was plenty of food. I'll just stay here and work. By the end of the day, I'd smashed 6 more veins and raised my mining profession to level 14, made small gains in experience, stamina, and strength, and also got 40 pieces of tin ore. Working in the advancing twilight was awkward, so I trudged off to the village. When you knew the way, it took just 2 hours of unhurried walking. Right next door, you could say. In about 30 minutes I came out of the forest and saw a sight of battle. Not as much of battle as the immediate death of the wolf pack. The bodies of the wolves, the leader and Grey Death, were strewn about 20 meters away from an enormous black crater. Strange that the wolves didn't disappear as soon as they were killed. Dead mobs do not despawn only in one case, if they are still part of a quest, like the wolves whose tails I collected the other day. Ah, should I take the tail off Grey Death as well? That way I'd at least complete the village headman's assignment. The tail of the she-wolf practically fell into my hands of its own accord, after which the entire pack faded away. That's it. They've served their purpose. Quest, the hunt for Grey Death, completed. Speak to the Beatwick headman. I continued on my way, but then a small speck caught my eye. I came closer. It was a piece of paper held down by a rock. Who would be littering the expanses of Barleona with something that doesn't exactly cost a pittance? I kicked away the rock, picked up the paper, and read the text, written in neat handwriting. Hello again, Mayan. I decided not to bring up jewelcraft in Anastaria's presence, but this topic is of great interest to me. In his report, Eric pointed out that you have 3 levels in crafting. He mentioned your rings separately, as well as how you brought down rats with your spirits. I know full well how crafting is gained, and how you level up in it. In my clan, only 20 people have this stat, and only 4 of them have it at a higher level than you. Now to business. I weighed up all the pros and cons, and am now quite sure that you are none other than the jeweler who crafted the orc warriors from the Carmandont chess set. We'll talk about them separately. It's not like you actually need them. But now is not the time for that conversation. Anastaria's birthday is a month away, and she is crazy about chess. According to the rules, dwarf warriors are the next part of the set to be crafted. These are what I need. Everyone knows about the orcs. There are hundreds of fakes on the Anhur's market now. But no one has the dwarves. Go to the bank. Use password Hellfire Lapis Lazuli Dwarves, and you'll receive the materials needed to make them. Because of the limitations imposed by the assignment Anastaria and I are doing, and your compulsory presence in Beatwick, I cannot recruit you into the clan at this time. But you should know that you will become a master in Phoenix as soon as our search is finished. In a couple of weeks I will drop by for the results. Wait for me in Beatwick. P.S. Sorry about the wolves. Judging by the fact that they have not despawned, these were quest-related mobs. Since you're the only player I met in this location, these were probably your wolves. I will leave the letter for you here. You're sure to come across the wolves tomorrow, if not today. P.P.S. Don't let me down. If Anastaria fails to get her present, I will be very upset. Hellfire, head of the Phoenix Clan.